Well, I don't know whether Josh is going to join us or not, because when I emailed you that, we had just gotten back, and he had an hour's drive back home.
And okay.
He's on a business trip tomorrow, so, but he's got a late flight, so he said, well, yeah, I should be able to make it. I said, okay. I texted him that we were going to start at 8, but we shall see. Maybe he'll be fashionably late.
Josh, fashionably late? No, never.
Josh, where are you? I know what you mean. I find his lack of punctuality disturbing. We must destroy him. Probably made everybody's the audience out there ears and eyes started bleeding anyway, so you're lucky. Of course, Skype, since we've been on, let's see, it's probably been close to a month we've been away. Skype came out with an update and they changed everything again. And I have a feeling why you can't hear is probably because, although I checked Skype settings and you should be hearing things.
I don't know, but you're breaking up real bad on my end.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
Really?
Sounds like you're gating.
I'm gating?
Either you're gating or you're breaking up. I'm not sure which.
Oh, that's interesting. Let me check the Skype settings once again. you gotta love it.
I can hear Michael just fine.
Welcome to This Week in Skype.
I wish they'd quit having... okay, my microphone seems to be going out okay to you guys.
Yeah.
Well, it could be, you know, one of the things is I'm streaming out and it's streaming out here to you guys, too. I don't know. Am I still breaking up?
No, now you're a little bit clearer.
Speakers. Okay, that's good.
Welcome.
So, have we started the show?
Yeah, we're starting. Oh, sorry. Welcome to, what is this, Late Night QRM? From the southwest corner of New Hampshire, this is Barry J.
This is Josh.
And from the recording studio in the woods of the suburbs of Copper Harbor, this is Michael, the virtual Uber.
Yay! We're here having some
welcome
problems
to show 21
as usual. Yes, show 21, and sorry we've missed so many shows, but we've all been busy, and
yeah, shortly after I got off of Skype with you last Sunday night, Barry, I would have been gone anyhow.
Oh really? Oh, did you get called out?
I was in the rig the rest of the night.
Oh geez. Yes, Michael and I were the only ones available last week, and he called in late, and he was on duty, and you were taking somebody somewhere. So
yeah, showing you an EKG over the video there.
That's right.
Yeah, that was pretty clear.
Yeah,
had to block out the name on it so you couldn't see that to keep HIPAA going there. But
right, right. Yeah, that was interesting. But, okay, well, I've got everything set up right, and I don't know why you're not hearing anything from the mix.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit again. Or is that just on my end this time?
No, it's, let's see. Okay. Yeah, we should really try this before. Well, you were hearing me fine before I started the stream, right?
Oh, we got to keep the tradition.
It's the stream. Anyway,
okay. Well, yeah, Barry, I'm going to make an adjustment here. Hang on.
Okay. See, the problem is we always set up for the show and everything's solved. What was that?
I don't know.
Josh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Satan.
What is that?
What do you think it is?
Oh, it's Darth.
Huh, come on, how are you doing that?
Actually, Darth doesn't, he doesn't laugh, does he?
Who?
Darth?
Oh, no. Well,
and,
if he did, he'd probably be more...
sense of humor.
Yeah, he'd probably be like, something like that. So come on, how are you doing?
Josh, I find your lack of punctuality disturbing.
Well, Josh was coming back from Barry J's and got hung up.
So Darth.
Yes, I'll ask Darth to step aside for a second there.
So how are you doing that?
That is an application called VoiceMod.
Oh, really?
For the iPhone. iPad, yes.
So what's it do? You can make yourself sound like Darth Vader.
they call it Dark Father, though. I'm sure
Dark Father.
Right issue there.
Yes, yes.
But it has, complete with breath sounds. Let me turn it back up again here. You're going to hear some of it come through, but...
Oh, that's cool.
Of course, you have a lightsaber. Oh.
So that's an iPhone app?
That's an iPhone app. I'm not sure if it's available on the Android or not.
And it's probably not available on the BlackBerry at all, right?
Yeah, well, it'll all be in text, right?
Jeez, I wish I had that.
That would be cool.
I bet you could. You know, it's easy, an iPhone. Just
Wait.
I think I can do it too.
Oh, you can do that. We'll do it this way.
Okay.
This Josh. Is my tiny virtual Uper.
Josh, what can you do with your BlackBerry?
Send a text.
That's about it.
That's very disturbing.
You're on the regular microphone there, Barry.
No, only you can hear the regular microphone.
Oh, okay.
I have the microphone turned down.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, it doesn't sound any different than you talking slowly.
It'll sound better on... That's because I've got the monitor going back to you guys. So you,
okay.
Whether I pull the microphone down or not, you can still hear me, I guess.
I see. Well, I'm using my app called My Voice Box.
Okay. Oh, man. The mixer board is totally screwed up
tonight. Sorry, Josh. I couldn't resist. As soon as I saw that app out there, it's like, oh, I got to try this.
That's it. That was awesome. That's you know, I'd want to make phone calls and have my voice sound like that just to mess with people.
Well, it works on the iPhone. It works on the iPad. Yeah. You should check the App Store. Or do you still have the Android, or are you just totally, fully, completely back on BlackBerry again?
I'm totally back on BlackBerry. I transferred the Android over to my wife's because I can't carry it where I need to work, and two, I played with it, liked it, and I was just saying to Barry J earlier, you know what? I think I'm just gonna finally get a damn iPhone and be done with it.
But it's got a camera.
Well, I know. I just won't be able to bring it with me into the building, so I'll just have to sit in the car and wait until I get done work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one's kind of neat. I've been playing with that for a little bit of time. Of course, just listening to myself talk. Here he goes.
I like to talk to myself in different voices. It's my alternate personality.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, I'm updating the... since we did all... So far, we've done all the topics out of sequence, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I messing up the sequence there?
No, it's fine.
let's see here. Of course, we've got to get this one in here, too.
Oh, you going to do another one?
I'll tell you one thing. I seriously miss Angry Birds.
Don't they have that for the BlackBerry? Oh, that's right. The version for the BlackBerry is...
I have...
It's the text version.
Yeah. Fling Angry Bird. The bird hits the wood pile.
Yes. That's about as far as it'll go, too.
Anyway.
You could launch the bird with the slingshot and then go make a sandwich by the time the processor actually gets it to fly across the screen.
Yeah, I downloaded Angry Birds Rio this week, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now you're freeing birds. Instead of trying to kill pigs, you're trying to release birds that are in cages.
Oh, what's that called?
Birds Rio.
Angry Birds Rio. I got an update on my Angry Birds, but I haven't opened it up to see what they did. So is that a separate?
Well, it's a separate one. It's not. Yeah, it's not one of the seasons. The latest seasons one was the St. Patrick's Day Angry Birds, which was also quite good.
So Angry Birds Rio, as in.
I feel like I just walked into an arcade from back in high school.
That was another game that's been released recently. It's Pac-Man for the iPhone. Works pretty darn good, too.
Oh, jeez.
I was telling Barry earlier that mixer board and me is a dangerous thing on a podcast.
Yeah. I'll have to check out Angry Birds Rio.
Hey, what is the drink of the night, gentlemen?
Oh, I will start.
You know, I came rushing home from town for a 7 o'clock show and didn't stop for... anything on the way, so I'm dry.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've been there with you. I've been drinking iced tea on a couple of these shows.
I don't have anything here.
I've got some classic, cheap, Taylor port wine.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm doing the Mike's Hard Black Cherry Lemonade.
Ooh, Mike's is good.
Devastating.
That's one of the beverages of choice of Mrs. Virtual Youper, actually, is Mike's products.
Ah, yes. I like to call them my fruit juice.
Yeah. Black cherry, though. I haven't seen that one. I'll have to check that out.
This is the first time I've seen it was the black cherry lemonade, and it is delicious.
Hmm.
I could see where one could get kind of silly drinking these things, especially because they just go down, like fruit juice.
Yep.
Well, I just grabbed something real quick, brought it up here, and that's what I've got for tonight. By the way, these topics range from, they were first started about 3 weeks ago, and have been added to along the way. So if some of the things are dated, well, on this podcast, it doesn't matter whether it's dated, because I probably won't get it out until next September. So... So, anyway,
yeah, a lot's happened in the last 3 weeks in the world. That's
I know,
sure.
I know. But if going down the list here, the big melt is on. Well, yeah, that was 3 weeks ago. The big melt was on here. We had temperatures of it went up into the 60s for a couple of days, and the 3 or 4 feet of snow that we had on the ground started melting aplenty, and so. Now the backyard is almost gone. All the snow is almost gone. The front yard, however, is still totally covered. I don't understand why, because that's south facing. But that's the way it was. Apparently, the snow was much deeper on the front lawn. But it's nice. Spring is starting to show up here. The crocuses are popping up out of the ground, and soon we'll be cutting the goddamn grass.
Yeah, I got a ways to go before that here. There are something we finally have this thing called pavement. Boy, that's a unique concept.
But, didn't you get slammed with snow last week?
Yeah, we've had some off and on, although the big one went south of us, but we still, we're getting 6 inches here and a couple inches there. And I went for my first run of the season, as opposed to cross-country skiing or anything, because I was able to run along the pavement. But I decided to walk along the lakeshore on the way back, and it's still anywhere from, there's some spots of bare ground, but otherwise it's 1 to 2 feet deep. And with the cold and the warmth and the cold, it's crusted, and it's to the point where, I didn't break through at all. I was just walking on the top of it, and some of it's a couple feet deep.
Wow.
And once you get up in the hills, it's still 3-4 feet deep up there.
Jeez.
So it's going to be a little while before we get all of it melted off here.
And the mud season starts.
Yep.
Yeah, they already put out the 6-ton weight limit signs on all the roads back here in the neighborhood. And the frost heaves are aplenty.
Oh, they're horrible.
Josh and I experienced some today.
Oh, my God.
A couple of times last week reporting. sometimes I get called in and I got to kind of hoof it on the way back. And you're coming along the road and you come over what you think is a little rise and it's a frost heave, and all of a sudden, you're up in the air.
Yeah, we experienced that today a little bit. And
we went four-wheeling in a Prius.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that was fun. I mean,
I'll be right back. I got to turn off the light here. I think I'm getting some buzz from it.
Okay. But yeah, that was fun.
That certainly was an adventure, that's for sure. I got a whole new respect for how well it's built, because most any other car would just about vibrate apart on the roads we were on today.
Gesundheit, whoever's sneezing.
Oh, that was Mrs. Josh.
Oh, Mrs. Josh, Gesundheit.
What it is, it's the freezer. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Been a while since I've recorded from here. It's like, oh yeah, that freezer causes buzz.
I can't hear a thing.
Welcome to Late Night QRM, your professional podcast.
Yeah.
Where we iron out all the problems right on the air.
Riveting.
Oh, jeez.
It's like riveting radio.
Yes. Yeah. Oh well. So yeah, that was fun today for well,
oh, the field trip.
The field trip.
Yes. Yes, I have to say that was it was a pretty good time. I had a great time actually. You know, it was beautiful weather. And the club is really, really nice. You know, secluded out on the range a bit, and most importantly is that you had a good time. You know that you found,
I did.
And you know that you found what you liked and what you didn't like, and what really gave you that warm fuzzy feeling way deep down low.
And if you're wondering what we're talking about, Josh and I went shooting today, and I went actually to shop for a new gun, and we went to a dealer who I happen to also work with. His full-time job is where I work, but he has quite a collection down there, and he has a shooting range not too far, club not too far from his house. So we went out and took some handguns and a let's see. What did we have? Well, the one I fell in love with was the Beretta. The Beretta 92. Yep. That was Beretta nice.
The Beretta 9mm.
Yeah, 9mm. Very nice handgun. I want it. But first, I think I'm getting the Mossberg 500 shotgun for both home protection and skeet shooting.
Yep, sir. You have a lot of fun there.
So yes, it's a versatile
shooting part.
It's a versatile shotgun with two barrels, and two barrels meaning exchangeable barrels, not a two barrel shotgun.
All right.
And so yes, all in all, it was a fun day. I really enjoyed myself out there. It was like, yeah. I haven't shot anything in it's got to be close to 30 years. Since the last time I shot,
and now you'll have the itch.
Yes, it was definitely fun. I I never shot a handgun before, so that was a lot of fun.
Right, and you worked you shot a range of them. It was starting at smaller calibers and working your way up until you, like you said, you honed in on that one that you felt that you really got that warm fuzzy feeling for.
Right. Yes. The Beretta just felt nice.
Right.
It felt like it was made for my hand. Other than it was set up for a right-handed person.
Right.
But now, is that adjustable or can...
No, that's completely adjustable. You can make the ejection left-handed or right-handed.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yep. So, and I am back, guys.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I don't know when you stepped in, but we went on a field trip today.
And that sounds cool. Yeah. I can't tell you the last time I went shooting. It's probably been decades, literally.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because I fired the first gun, and it was a handgun. It was the little one. The little
380.
One. The 380. Yeah, the little one.
Yeah.
And I sat there and fired it, and I smelled the gunpowder, and I said, I remember this. But I used to do skeet shooting a little bit when I was in the Air Force, and and of course in basic training we got the M16s that were actually set up to be 22s in the Air Force, and we shot those, and
right.
And I got to tell you, I've I shot bigger guns in the Boy Scouts than I shot in the Air Force. Because our Boy Scout troop had a set of a whole collection of 22 rifles, and we used to go target shooting with them.
Right.
And then a couple of times some of the assistant scoutmasters brought bigger guns, and so we shot them. So the Boy Scouts. I learned how to shoot in the Boy Scouts.
I wholeheartedly. I mean, support the Boy Scouts 100%. I myself started off as a Cub Scout and, you know, earned your merit badges up and made it to Wee Below, and then went from Wee Below to Boy Scout myself, and probably up till about the age of 17.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I was big into scouting. I really enjoyed it.
What rank did you make?
I never made it all the way, obviously, to Eagle Scout, but literally as far as Boy Scout.
That's all the way.
That's all the way up, right?
Eagles all the way.
Right. Yeah. And no, I mean, it's like I said, I was Boy Scouts, and God, to say, remember what rank, I couldn't even tell you. It's been that long ago. You know, it's. Wow. Excuse me. It's, you know, but there, same thing too. We used to go on the, you know, the retreats, and you go up with your dads, and all the dads on all the guys in the troop would go up. We'd go out in the woods, and then you have the, you know, the bunkhouse, and that's where you earn your different merit badges for map reading and trail, you know, trail reading and compasses and survival skills and shooting. You know, it's a fantastic experience. I definitely would say. Any parent who's wondering whether or not they should get their kids involved in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, I wholeheartedly support it.
Yeah,
I agree completely. I did the Cub Scout, the Wee Blow, the Boy Scout, and up until the time that we moved up here, I probably needed my head examined, but I was the Cub Scout leader for a number of years too.
Huh.
Enjoyed the heck out of it. It was great.
Yeah, it's a fantastic experience, especially as a youngster going through it. You know, it's it was like a good learning experience, but you didn't even really realize that you were learning as much as you did, and that's because it was so fun.
Our troop was definitely fun. At one point we had close to 50 Boy Scouts in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a large troop, and then we had it was a men's club too, because the fathers really participated. We had like a scoutmaster, and we had, I think, like at one point 8 assistant scoutmasters, and then there was the troop committee who tended to come along on Boy Scouts, and literally I remember there was this one, and we used to go camping at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. And literally, I remember one camp out where pretty much all the boys had, there were lots of other activities, like, you know, Little League and different things going on. So not everybody could make this camp out. There was like four or five boys that could go. But it was like the scoutmaster, all 8 assistant scoutmasters made it, and some of the troop committee. So, you know, the adult leadership outnumbered the Boy Scouts on that one camp trip. Yeah, so it was a really good experience. I enjoyed it, and I did make it to the rank of Eagle Scout.
Really?
Yes, but
very cool.
It was kind of hard not to, because you had so much support, and I don't know. It was just it was one of the better experiences in my young life, and it probably kept me from doing bad things.
Getting in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was well on my way to going that direction, but my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Bender, got me involved in Boy Scouts, and that really did kind of turn me around, because, yeah, I was, at that early age, I was heading for lots and lots of detentions and things. So, yes. Boy Scouts, good. And, you know, today, people are saying, oh, well, you know, I can't do that because of the whole gay thing, it's kind of calmed down, but the, you know, national Boy Scout leadership frowns upon it, doesn't allow it in the Boy Scouts. But you know what? When you get down to the local troops, and that's where it counts, who cares about what national Boy Scouts, you know, the national committee says? If you're gonna have your kids miss out on a great opportunity just because of what some national council says, don't do that, because Boy Scouts is really down at the troop level and the council, the local council level. It's not about national. We never heard anything from national. It was always, you know, I was in the Valley Forge Council, and that's about as far as you went. And most of those guys, they don't care. It's like, yeah, so what? You know? there's no freaking politics.
It's your neighbors, it's your community.
Yeah.
It's all the people that your kids go to school with.
Yeah. So if you're trying to punish the Boy Scouts by saying, oh, I'm not going to support the Boy Scouts because of what they said, well, you're only punishing your kids. Because let me tell you, when I was in Boy Scouts, not once was, you know, your preference and sexual partners ever brought up.
Nope.
And even never. Today, in most, you know, in the Boy Scout troops, it never even comes up. It's all about, you know, teaching right from wrong. And I don't mean that way. I'm talking about right from wrong, teaching you how to be a better citizen.
Right. Exactly.
Teaching you some basic first aid and how to survive and out in the wilderness if you get lost. You know, how to track back and, you know, just some basic things that the average person doesn't learn on their own.
But it's amazing. I was actually, this is a little while ago, but I was with a group of kids, and I think it was at a basketball game or something like that. And my watch has a compass built into it. Mm-hmm. And we were, I was just looking at it, like playing around with it. And they're like, what's that? I said, it's a compass. And they're like, on your watch? I'm like, absolutely. And he said, well, how do you use it? And I was shocked. Here must have been a group of 8 kids. None of them knew how to use a compass at all. And I thought, well, you know, not for nothing, but this tool here alone can make the difference between being lost forever or finding your way home in the event you ever find yourself.
Yeah.
Not just in the woods, but for that matter, anywhere.
Or preventing yourself from going around in circles, which has been pretty much proven that if you're lost in the woods and you start walking in one direction without any kind of guidance, you will end up walking in a circle, almost come back to where you started from. And it's just a natural thing that happens. So that's the kind of the little things you learn. You know, not only that, but you learn how to cook outdoors on a campfire.
Yeah.
You know, how to basically survive. You know, look what happened in Japan recently with the tsunami and the earthquake and, well, a lot of other things. But still, you know, there could be times where you don't have the conveniences that we've all gotten used to. And you have to learn how to survive on your own. And even with our little 2 years ago, we had the ice storm of 2008, which we didn't have power for 13 days. And pulled out the Coleman stove and started cooking like the Boy Scouts taught me, you know.
Yeah.
collecting stuff, collecting snow, melting it down for water, because yes, we have a well, which means it's the only way to get water from it is if you have electricity. I now have a generator though, so we won't go without water again, but still, you could go out there, you know, and I'm not saying to drink the water. We could go to the store and buy water to drink, but for cleanup and things like that, you can melt snow. And we did actually do that. And we cooked on the Coleman stove and, you know, did basic Boy Scout things I learned in Boy Scouts.
Yep.
So
it all pays off, those skills. And even though you think you forget them, when you really need them, they kick in.
Yeah. So support the Boy Scouts. Anyway.
Absolutely.
So let's get back on to the next timely topic. Guys, how about that super moon?
How about it?
Yeah. Did you enjoy it? You know, that super moon that happened, what, a week ago? Was it a week?
Yep.
So did you get to see it at all?
I want to say I did, but there again too, I was actually unaware that there was a quote unquote super moon.
Oh, it only happens once every 16 years. The super moon. It was a full moon at the moon's, was it apogee? Am I getting that right? Apogee?
Is it the apogee or the perigee?
Perigee, near. Yeah, that's right. Apogee is the other one. Right. Perigee, which means it looked 14% larger.
Yep, it had its closest point to the Earth, right?
And it was very bright. And actually, it was a clear night here, and it was. And then I was listening to Leah Laporte talk about it, And I guess it was on the Gizwiz, which will bring us down to another topic here. But they were talking about the myth about the moon always looks so large down by the when it's first rising or setting, but up in the sky it looks much smaller. And they said that's actually it's actually the same size, but because it's down closer to where you can compare the size to other things, it looks much larger. But if you actually measure it, you can see that it's the same size when it's up in the sky. And then Leo heard, I thought this is funny, Leo, some professor told Leo that, yeah, you can do that measurement by, and see that the moon is the same size. If you, bend down and look between your legs, you should see, a full moon that, is always the same size.
What a How about I just take your word for it on that one?
Well, I'm sure if you bend over and look between your legs, you do see a full moon every night.
Exactly. On your somebody fire. Does.
But yeah, that was fun.
I missed it. I worked. Not that I knew it was happening, but I worked that Friday night. Oh, that was a 29-hour shift for me, actually.
Oh, really?
And the only thing on my mind was not a full moon. It was sawing logs and counting sheep. Because I knew I had to work the next day again.
Jeez. Wow. So, 29 hours, and that was without sleep? Or just...
I didn't get much.
Little naps here and there?
They all kind of blend together, but... If I remember right, I did 630 miles down the road in the rig that night.
Oh, that's taking somebody to another hospital? Or that is that just back and forth?
Yeah, but that was three trips in one night. Oh, normally geez. We try not to do that. But
yeah, well, wow. I'm surprised they let you do that.
Well, there wasn't that. It's not like we wanted to.
Not that you had a choice, probably.
Can't this wait till the next shift? It's only going to be an hour. No. Okay. Whatever you say, doctor, we're down the road. That's fine.
Was that the one in the snow too? Didn't you have one where you had to go down in the snow?
No, that was Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was Sunday night was nasty. I had had a patient that I had to go through considering a lot of snow to get to, and the plows weren't really doing anything. I'm not sure I want to comment about that on the record, but it was not a good situation.
Well, it's just the fact that a lot of times that you have to go, you know, the large hospital
yes.
that you go to is how far away?
Well, from the Virtual Uper Studios here, it's about 3 hours away.
Right.
And from it's about 2 hours from the hospitals.
Right. And sometimes, because of your weather up there in the wintertime, you have to do that in very bad road conditions.
Well, they send us even after they pull the plows off the road.
And you have no choice because...
No, we got to. It's that simple. Right. We do have one four-wheel drive ambulance out of the six.
That's got to be a nerve-wracking drive, especially... The only good thing is there's probably no traffic on the road.
No, not generally.
Yeah, it's a white knuckle ride all the way, I imagine.
Yes. Well, it's for my partner who's driving. Yeah, a lot of times I'll drive on the way back, but if there's a patient on board, I'm in back. That's regulation.
Right.
And I'm literally we're both trusting our lives to my partner as we're zipping down the road.
Wow.
Jesus. Anyhow, so yeah, I was aware of it. I wasn't in any shape to watch the moon, but it was cool.
Cool to hear about.
Yeah. And
I did see it the next night, part of it anyhow.
Yeah, the Leo Laporte story. I mean, I heard that on the Daily Gizwiz. And actually, it was the first... Well, this leads us to the next topic. Which is yours, Michael.
Yes, I just recently discovered, as in December, Daily Gizwiz, and I'm like, oh, this is cool, and I was listening to every single episode right up until, what was that, the 26th? No.
Yeah, they've had, last week. It started last week. Last week was the first one.
Right, well, the Daily Gizwiz is no longer daily. It's weekly.
It's the weekly daily Gizwiz.
Gizwiz, yeah. Except, yeah, is it showing up in your podcaster app?
It did, but you know what I did when they went weekly? I said, Well, you know what? If it's going to be a weekly show, then I'm going to start. I stopped subscribing to the audio only, and I subscribed to the video version of it because it's like, I'd like to see the gadgets that they're talking about.
And, okay, because the audio link in mine hasn't caught it yet. And I know really? There's a show out.
Yeah, there's been two shows. There was a show released last night. So, anyway, what it was is Leo Laporte and Dick DiBartolo, who was he works for Mad Magazine. He writes for Mad Magazine. He has since he was 16 years old or something like that. But he's a big gadget fan, and he has lots and lots. He has a gadget warehouse full of stuff. He lives in New York City. Of course, Leo's out on the West Coast in Penaluma. But anyway, so they get together on the Twit Network, and they did this daily Gizwiz show, which was about 20 minutes every day of them going over a gadget, and they talk about it. But, you know, the kick of it is Leo and Dick DiBartolo have this wonderful back and forth. And so it's, you know, the gadget is like 10 minutes of the show, and the rest is them talking to each other. And, you know, it's just, it was a really fun, and still is a fun show. But what they would do is they would actually, on Saturday afternoon, they would record all the shows. There we go. Another crappy theme. Yes, indeed. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. Hey, I'm ready, and I'm almost noticed.
It's Thursday. I know all those themes.
I've got them all bookmarked.
Well, they're basically trying to change them all so they fit in this new format. But anyway, so they would get together on Saturdays, and they would record all the shows for the following week, for the upcoming week. And so what they found, I guess, in Leo's explanation was that they get sponsors for these shows. And the people in the beginning of the week, the sponsors were getting responses from the advertising. But at the end of the week, those sponsors weren't really getting the responses. And so what they were thinking was the people would download all the daily Gizwiz, but they wouldn't get through all of them for the week. So by the end of the week, it was kind of fading. So sponsors were saying, well, why should we sponsor you at the end of the week if nobody's listening? So they've changed it to a weekly show, the weekly Daily Gizwiz, and it's probably about 40 minutes now. And they do go through, I think they've gone through between 3 and 4 gadgets and the talk and everything in between. And now they sometimes have a guest on too. This week they had a guest, and which was Bob Heil from Heil Microphones.
Ah, cool.
So yeah. Anyway, so it's they're trying to get used to the format, but they're putting it on. You know, it's one show now, 40 minutes, and they're hoping that solves their sponsor program. But they're still trying to get used to the format, and there's been 2 out so far. And actually, I don't mind it that much because, like I said, I switched. I used to listen to it going to work. It was one of the daily podcasts I'd listen to going to work. But now that it's one podcast, I've switched over to video so I can actually watch them do the show. So check it out. Daily Gizwiz at Twit TV. Is it twit.tv or twittv.com? Anyway.
It's twit.tv.
Twit.tv. Go check it out. It's a good show. So, moving on to current topics. Hey, did you hear the iPad 2 is out?
Yes.
Yeah, it came out about 4 weeks ago now.
Has it been that long? I guess it could be.
Yeah. I think so. I'm not sure.
Hasn't shown up yet.
You're getting one, huh?
Well, I don't know if I'm getting exclusive use of it, but I do. I will have access to one because I need to be able to test the programming on. It does have unique sensors on it. But I finally had a business meeting with the rest of the group last week, and as I think, I don't know, I'm sure we've talked about it before, but one of my many jobs, enterprises, things that keep me busy is I write iPad, iPhone, iTouch software for a new software company. And things are moving a little further than I thought they did, because one of the people we're associated with was invited to the unveiling in San Francisco, and nobody told me about it. So
wow.
I'm sending him emails, not realizing he's in San Francisco, and he's taking longer to get back to me than normal. And finally, he's like, "Hey, you know, I'm sitting in the room listening to Steve Jobs, and I shouldn't be at it." What? So I was like, "Oh, that's cool." At the same time, the CEO of our company was in New York. And he had been going to the New York Apple store daily waiting for the release. And he was at the store at 9 a.m. the day they were supposed to go on sale. And I guess they didn't go on sale until 5. Hmm. And then when he got in line, they're like, well, let's see here, one potato, two potato, three potato. We're going to run out before we get to you. Oh, so he said, well, the heck with this. He went back to his hotel room and ordered them online along with the accessories. Hmm. And lo and behold, about 2 weeks ago, we had a couple of smart covers and some HDMI cables and some other things have shown up, but no iPads yet.
No iPads yet, yeah.
But they're coming.
Yeah, they're back ordered. They didn't expect quite the number of orders that they got, from what I understand.
That's pretty cool, though. Yeah. I like getting back to Twit TV there. I think they had a Twitter review. You know, 140 characters and less, and it was just like faster with a camera.
Well, that's pretty much what it is. Faster with a camera, with two cameras, actually, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, so. And I haven't heard glowing reviews about the cameras, but the three-axis gyroscope and accelerometer is a nice add to it. Then it actually gives it the same sensing capability of an iPhone.
That's nice. Really? Well, that's what I was going to say. If I could sum it up in quick words, jumbo iPhone.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but it's funny because that 10-inch display makes all the difference. Yeah, you know, the iPhone's nice, and I like to sit and drink my coffee and read stories. But you know, if I had one of those iPads, that would be my magazine. That would be my newspaper and my magazine. I'd grab my coffee, grab that, and I'd be flipping through reading on that thing. And
I do read a lot of my news on it.
Yeah,
I've got an iPad 1. I've had that for a few months now, and it took me a month or two to get it back from my kids. But then they occasionally borrow it back. But my youngest son now has an iPod Touch on the new series, and we bought my oldest son a netbook for Christmas, so that's become his private journal book, and he just assumes use that most of the time.
Huh.
And that brings me to another thing. After 4 years, almost five, it was a hard thing for me to part with, but I have bequeathed my Nokia N800 to my oldest son.
No.
And
the one that survived snow?
It survived snow and falls and, you know, jump shots and falling to the asphalt. And he understands the significance of it running Linux. And jeez, he's downloading stuff for it. He's got Pandora running on it. He's got Last.fm running on it. And he's using the heck out of it. So it was hard for me to give it up. I've actually stuck with that thing since I bought it. And I guess it's only 4.5 years. It was in 06 when I got it.
Yeah.
But I finally have decided that the iPhone really can replace everything that this did, with the exception of the fact that, you know, that is running Linux. You can still go out and find just about anything you want for free on that thing and load it.
Yeah, that's God, I can't even remember the name of it. There was back when God, I can't think of anything right now. The port wine is taking effect. Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It was a Linux.
You guys are making me thirsty. I know what I'm doing after the show.
Oh, God. I can't think of the name of it. Jeez.
Manufacturer.
Yeah. Sanyo, something like that. It was before the smartphones, like the
Palm.
It wasn't a Palm, though. It was the other one. It was Linux-based, and I can't think of the name of it. So I had a Palm, and then I got this thing, and it was pretty cool. It was impressive. And boy, I can't think of the name of it anyway, but it was Linux-based, and it was pretty cool. The only problem is, and this is the problem I have with most of the open source stuff that they have out there, for a gadget, you know, for a computer, okay, fine, but something that you're using every day, it was really neat, but no, it ended up, it became an orphan. Nobody supported it. Nobody was writing software for it. And so I'm looking at it and I said, yeah, I paid close to $400 for this thing and it's been orphaned. Yeah, so that's and you tell you the truth, that's why I kind of shy away from Android right now,
right?
Because they claim they're open, and although that seems to be, there's a lot of support there. However, it was interesting, I heard this week that Google is thinking about not making it quite as open as they claim it is. Because again, they're worried that it'll become, well, a piece of crap if they leave it too open. So they want to approve any changes, and maybe even start approving some of the apps, or having like these are the really nice apps that we put our stamp on. And I said, so how different is that from Apple doing that? So I don't know. The Androids looks pretty nice, but again, with computers, yeah, I'll experiment with operating systems and things, but when it's something that I gotta use every day and it's gotta just work, I went with the iPhone. So, comments? No? Yes? Anybody there? Hello?
No, I'm here. Oh, okay. I'm here.
It got quiet. I thought I lost the connection.
I'm still trying to think of which device this was. It was a Samsung, or
I can't think of the name. I probably got it in a drawer here somewhere.
Wasn't it Clio? Was it?
No. It was before phones. It was I can't think of the name of it. I'll have to look it up. But it was Linux based, and don't quote me on Sanyo. It might not have been. I just can't think of the name of it. But you kind of slid it open. There was a keyboard in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. Now I can't think of what it was. I got totally hooked on the Nokia, and was finding apps for that thing right up till the very end. I mean, they're still writing them for it, because somebody wrote a version of Android that would run on the N800.
Hmm.
So now they're running Android stuff on it too.
Yeah.
But the problem there is that now it was, you know, in the end it was running MAMO, and MAMO is the latest thing that Nokia has dropped for Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
Windows Mobile 7, excuse me. 7 Mobile 7, whatever that awkward operating system name is.
7 Moon something.
And Zune RIP as well, too. Did we get that on the list?
No. Oh, yeah.
They've killed the Zune.
Well.
You know, for all 5 people that had it. I heard good things about it, though, but it's...
Yeah, well, they were going to be in... It's good that they dropped it, because Zoom and the new tablet, Motorola tablet, I believe it is, Zoom, Zune, Z-U-N-E versus Zoom, X-O-O-M, that would be very confusing to talk about, because they sound too alike, and I could see people having problems with that. But that's another thing. Speaking of that, the Zoom is now available and out, right?
I'm sorry?
The Zoom is now available and is made out, and you can purchase it.
Or? Oh, yeah. With the XOOM, I think it is. Yes.
See? You had problems with it.
Yes, I did. You're right.
So let's see. My topic will be the Zoom is dead.
Long live the Zoom.
Yeah. Although the Zoom is dead because they've got the Windows phone
thing.
Yeah.
Well, I heard, you know, it supposedly worked excellent as an MP3 player. But Yeah. It's not an iPod Touch. It didn't do the tablet type stuff.
And people actually love the way you could, I guess you paid a monthly fee, but you had access to all music.
Yep.
Right.
Available. Now, the only problem is of course, you give up, you stop paying the monthly fee, get out of the program, you lose all access to that music. But
and supposedly, it's also an excellent audio recorder. A lot of the podcasters are using it for their walking tours and stuff, and they liked it better than just about everything else out there.
Really? I never had heard that. So,
although that was before. Now, was that another Zoom? What's the other audio recording device out there? I can't think of the name of that
either. There's an H4. And that's very popular.
Yeah, but who makes that?
You know what? I have one. Let me see if I can find it. And it's, God. Here? Yes, it's here. I have it in my hands. It is the handy recorder, the Zoom. Z-O-O-M.
That's what I do. It's another Zoom.
It's the Zoom H4, which is actually a very nice device, which I hardly use because we don't really do podcasts out on the road. But it takes a memory card. Right. And it's got two microphones that are kind of in the cross fashion. Mm-hmm. Up at the top, that's actually, they're very nice microphones. And you've got, you can do multiple channels, and you've got multiple recording frequencies. And on the back, you can plug in a regular phone jack microphone if you want to put external. There's right. Two jacks on the back of it for that, or you can it takes the X, I'm gonna say XML, you know what I'm talking about, XLR type phone jacks. It takes those in the back, so it's one or the other, which is kind of a clever way they do that, because the regular phone jack would go in the center, but if you're using the XLR type, it goes on it kind of fits on the outside in the circle. It's the same socket. It's pretty interesting.
No, okay.
But it's very nice, and you can put headphones into it so you can monitor what's going on. And you just plug in a USB cord to it, and you can download what you recorded, or you can pop the memory chip out of it and transfer it that way. But it's a nice little device that I hardly ever use. But I don't know. Maybe when we go on our trip to Copper Harbor.
There you go.
We'll now take this along in the car.
Wait a minute. Let's be honest now. You know for a fact that you're going to do the same thing that we ended up doing today, which is just grabbing your iPhone, and I ended up shooting a movie by accident.
Yeah. Well, the iPhone does. Actually, the iPhone 4 does have some pretty good audio sound on it. Exactly. And I do have a couple apps that I can record podcasts directly on the iPhone. But if I do that with the iPhone, then I can't use it for, you know, the great navigational tool that it was today.
Oh, for God's sakes. Don't even get me started on that. I mean, you know, it's a great idea. It really, really is. The only problem is it was so glitchy. It would have sent it 83 miles. Michael, you'll love this. Where we had to go was approximately about an hour. Well, my GPS system had said it was an hour and 6 minutes from door to door. And we looked at the software on this one, and it said it was 83 minutes away. And I went, okay, well, is it taking us by way of Maine to go back to New Hampshire or what? And honest to God, it got us so lost driving where we were going today.
That was actually the Waze program, which is an excellent program for monitoring traffic. And it, if you're a Wazer, as they call it, then you're helping update all the maps. And I think I've talked about this before on the show, but, And it's great on pointing out, you know, hazards and where traffic is tied up and things like that. But their direction capability, turn by turn directions is a little lacking, especially if you've got to go back roads. I think it does a pretty good pretty good job if you stick to the main highways, the interstates, and things like that. But
but there again too, so do the street signs.
you know, to Interstate 84. Well, I guess I'll follow where that sign said. You know, that, you know, the whole point is when there isn't a real well-marked road,
yeah,
that you have to travel on, and I still need to get where I want to go in a fairly efficient manner. I don't want it to take me 35 minutes out of my way.
Come on, you wanted to see Quebec today.
Yeah, exactly. to go across the street, you know. I was sitting there going, and then I was using the VZ Navigator to get us back, and of course that's Murphy's Law. The battery goes completely dead on the BlackBerry, and I'm like, oh shit, now we're stuck in the woods. How do we find it? We managed to get our way back, but that software, it looked graphically, was fantastic. I thought it was pretty neat that it dings and it says, oh, you just got 2 points. Yeah, but I'm also 14 miles off the beaten path.
But your little Wazer's eating candy on the road as it goes along there.
That's right.
I thought, you know, and it's really neat the way it has, you know, when it's plugged into the stereo of the car, how it'll knock the music down and then speak and say, turn left to go in the wrong direction. But it really, it cuts in and out just right. But there again, like I said, I don't know. It started to give us directions to the same location. There, it gave us options, you know, two different ways to go. It was giving us the direction on both ways simultaneously.
That's why it's called Waze. Here.
You could go left or you could go right.
Exactly. Well, it told us to take the left into a farm field. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's the right way to go. Well,
that's why it's called that's why it's called Waze. You have multiple ways to get there.
Yeah, by way of someone's front lawn.
It's funny because we're driving along and we're going to Goffstown, New Hampshire. And we're driving along and we're in Goffstown, right? And it says, we still got like, what 40 minutes?
30, yeah, 40 minutes to get where we were going.
And so Josh turns on his BlackBerry and he's got the Verizon navigation on there. He punches it in and it says, yeah, but this one's telling us to turn right. Josh is saying turn left, so we turn left.
And we were there in 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was literally 3 minutes away.
I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I just lost all faith in that one.
Yeah, so Waze has a ways to go.
Yeah, no kidding.
When it comes to navigation. But it's got a promise. It's promising.
Yeah, so is the lottery, but you'll hardly hold my breath waiting for it.
Oh, jeez. Well, speaking of, again, we're back on. We should really call this the smartphone show.
Because realistic, yeah.
The next topic was, and of course, daylight savings happened a few weeks ago. And if anybody else find it odd to come home and the sun is up until 7 o'clock at night and there's still snow on the ground.
Yeah,
I find that very weird. But anyway, Michael, I heard several people had this problem that you had. Now, I can honestly say I didn't have the problem. But then again, I'm on AT&T.
Yeah, you're on AT&T. I'm on Verizon. And I think part of the issue is that I don't have cell phone coverage here at the Upper Estate here. I was watching it, and, you know, Saturday night into Sunday, it sprung ahead, no problem. Sunday, it had the right time. And I set my alarm for the next morning. And fortunately, I'm somebody that tends to wake up without an alarm anyhow. But I just set it out of, you know, just out of habit. And I woke up the next morning and felt, you know, it's about time to get up. And I look at my phone and I had set the alarm for, I didn't have to go into the ambulance service, but I did have to drive the kids to school and I had to get up at 6. And I look at my iPhone, which has got the alarm set, and it says 5 o'clock. And I'm like, wow, I got an hour to sleep. It just doesn't feel right, though. So I turn on the light to my second backup alarm clock, and it says 5:59. And I'm like, oh, interesting. So it had jumped forward between Saturday and Sunday like it was supposed to. And then Sunday night into Monday, it dropped back an hour again.
Really?
Wow. So I threw it in my pocket and, you know, got about the kids together and ready for school, and as soon as we hit cell phone coverage, bang, magically it was on the right time again. But without the network to tell it that, you know, what time it was, somewhere between Sunday and Monday, it dropped back again. So it sprung forward and fell back, all in a 48-hour period.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah.
Now, mine actually worked fine because, well, then again, I didn't, I mean, it worked. But then, I have a microcell, so now I have 5 bars in my house.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't have any issue. And I was actually up, and I watched it go from 2 to 3 o'clock. And everything's been fine with it. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. But you that is a kind of a valid point. You don't have good coverage there. So I'm wondering whether
I have no coverage.
Okay, no coverage. So I'm wondering whether it jumped back because it wasn't getting to the network to validate the time change.
I think that might have been it. But I did hear other, other issues out there, that there were sporadic iPhones, and I don't know if they were all Verizon based or not, but there were other people out there claiming they have problems. Right. It's 15 miles to the nearest cell phone coverage from my house.
Right.
So it's not even, marginal. It's just not there, at least until this summer. Yeah. They are talking about putting the Verizon tower up. I'm hoping I made the right choice here.
That'd be real convenient for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I waited for the Verizon iPhone. They're the ones that are committing to bringing coverage up here, not the other company.
And speaking of, and this is one that didn't make the show notes because it was announced last Sunday, to everybody's surprise, that AT&T and T-Mobile are about to merge.
Oh, yeah. The old Ma Bell conglomerate days.
Yes, AT&T is buying T-Mobile, which will make it the largest network in the U.S.,
Can you say monopoly?
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. And not a lot of people are happy, especially the T-Mobile people, because apparently T-Mobile is known for its better prices and great
service
and support. And most people who are on T-Mobile fled from AT&T.
Right.
To T-Mobile to get away from AT&T, and now they're like, no, I'm back at AT&T. And then, of course, if you're GSM, you have no other choices.
Well, not only that, but it's like, not only are they going to take over, but see those phones that you've got? They're not going to be any good in a year.
That's right.
What's that?
The T-Mobile phones.
Right? Really?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
No kidding. They're not going to, what do you mean? It just won't work on their network?
Right. They've got a plan to have everybody's phone replaced.
Oh, I'm sure AT&T's got a plan.
Now, see, I'm one of the few people that I hear all the talk, and I'm sure everybody's had problems, but I've been with them now for 3 years, I guess. And 3 years, and I haven't had a single bit of problems. They've been more than helpful every time I've had to talk to them. And I'm comparing that to my days on Verizon, which I had quite the opposite problem. Verizon never supported me. It was the service was horrible. I just always had problems with Verizon, and I was kind of, when I decided to get the iPhone, I was kind of looking forward to getting away from Verizon, and they even gave me a hard time when I was leaving them. That they didn't want me to leave, and they were threatening me that I was going to have to pay back things. And I said, no, I don't. Look, I'm past my 2 years with you. And it was just like they were nasty the entire time. So, like I said, AT&T, haven't had a bit of problem with them as opposed to everybody else. So, I don't know.
I've been a AT&T subscriber and wireless for over 14 years, and I've got a long list of horror stories. I used to have multiple phones. Now, the only one I've got is the one that my mom has, and that's because I don't want to put her through changing to another company. Hmm. I don't have a long history of Verizon. I was an Alltel customer. Alltel was excellent. They were bought by Verizon. So, this is a wait-and-see attitude for me. But if anything, I don't know if you caught these stories this week, but AT&T has been sending out emails to people saying, we see you've been tethering your phone.
Oh, yes.
And unless we hear from you, we're going to convert you, enroll you automatically into our tethering service and charge you for it and take you off your unlimited data plan.
Right.
Oh, man.
People have been calling AT&T and AT&T's customer service some of the...
Oh, you're breaking.
What are you doing? So we don't.
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up. It figures. It must be AT&T. They're trying to get stories and finding out. But there are people that are claiming that they're complaining that they're getting these emails and that they don't tether. And AT&T is saying, well, do you listen to Pandora? That's tethering. Like, what? Huh?
Really?
I haven't seen it confirmed, but there's been postings out there of people being told that if they listen to streaming audio, it's the equivalent of tethering, and they're going to charge them for it. And like, well, no, what part of unlimited data plan don't you understand?
Wow. Yeah, and they lose the unlimited data plan. That's the other thing.
Right.
Because if they move you to a tether plan, then you no longer have the unlimited. You're taken off the unlimited, and you can never get it back either. So if they, that would, you know.
See you later, bye. Yeah. You start playing games like that, you know, your business goes elsewhere. That's simple, you know.
Yep. And that's one reason why I got the iPhone with Verizon now, because they are currently offering the unlimited plan. And I'm taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never had a problem with them. I've had them for over 10 years with Verizon. And I've had nothing but good things to say. I've got nothing but good things to say about them. I've had excellent service and customer support with them for the decade that I've had them.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm the oddball then.
Yeah, you're the exception to the norm, not the norm.
Well, glad you're having a good experience though, Barry.
Well, again, you know, so far, so good. And as a matter of fact, when I got my iPhone, according to AT&T's map, I wasn't supposed to be allowed to get an iPhone because AT&T claimed they had no coverage in my area. But they allowed me to get an iPhone anyway. So, that was another thing. With AT&T, they would basically tell people if they didn't have service in the area that, well, we don't have service in your area. And,
all right.
And that was most of Vermont, by the way. But I told them when I went to buy my iPhone. Of course, I bought my first iPhone at the Apple store, and I did tell them. Well, I said, yeah, well, I don't really use my cell phone when I'm at home because I have a landline. I use it where I'm at when I'm at work, and work is in the AT&T area. So I guess I got around that by that explanation, but I'm waiting for my first bad AT&T experience, because I'm sure it's going to happen soon based on everybody else's talk. Away from cell phones and into streaming, Netflix. They are going to spend $100 million on an exclusive original series, and it's called The House of Cards. So they're kind of getting into the HBO and Showtime realm, where the HBO and Showtime produce their own television shows and miniseries. Netflix is going to have one. So this is a plus for streaming services. Now, on the other hand, Netflix is also battling Showtime, which was really the first production company, channel, whatever you want to call it, that actually helped them get programming that was that people wanted. And now Showtime is saying, we'll still share programming with you, but not until after it's been on our place for 90 days. And so they're looking at, of course, it's one of those things where streaming is the future. These guys don't know how to handle it. Hollywood's trying to get greedy because it's not following, you know, their basic business plan. Hollywood is not jumping on to the new media. And so they're trying, anything that's new, they're trying to kill or rein in until they control it. So it's going to be interesting to see if Netflix can weather the storm, because I have become, since we got the new TV and I can get stream Netflix, I have become a big Netflix fan, and I use it quite a bit now. because it's the shows are just there. They're available. You click on it and you're watching the show you want to watch. And it's really where it's going. That's everything's going to be that way in the future. So I don't know why they're bucking it. So.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Oh, that's too much. And Josh, you haven't tried Netflix yet. You need to get yourself a little box. Because you have to experience that show that Michael got me addicted to. I'm on episode.
What would that be, Barry?
I'm on season 3 of the Trailer Park Boys, a Canadian production that Michael mentioned several podcasts ago. And I remembered it, and I was on Netflix, and I said, let me see if it's on Netflix. And sure enough, they have all 7 seasons, plus the movie, and a Christmas special. And they're all in my instant queue. I'm into season 3 now, and that is a funny-ass show.
Will Anne Marie ever forgive me?
Well, that's usually... Actually, she watched part of one and she was cracking up on
two. Okay.
But now that's one of those ones. She likes to go to bed early. She go up around 9 o'clock, and you know, especially on a Friday night is usually my night to watch the Trailer Park Boys, and so I'll stay up late and I'll watch like two or three episodes and then go to bed. But that is a funny show, and it's like, Canada, why are you hiding this from us? But yes, I recommend the Trailer Park Boys to anybody out there that hasn't seen it. Of course, it's not on the air anymore. And so, I mean, I think it ended in 2007 was the year. But I did hear that most of the cast of the Trailer Park Boys are now involved and another show that's supposed to start this year. And I will have to put it in the show notes because I can't remember the name of the show right now. It's the Happy Time something something show. And, I'm not quite sure what it's about, but it's pretty much got the whole Trailer Park Boys cast in it. So, anyway.
I'll have to check that out. Unfortunately, although I have several Netflix-compatible devices here, I'm missing one very important element, and that is a sufficient backbone to support it. I'm close, but 768 on a good day here, without using my administrative privileges, which I'm tempted to use from time to time, but normally only for business purposes. So we're still upgrading the network. There are a couple people in town that are using Netflix and Apple TV. But you've got to go with lower definition digital. You can't go with the real high def stuff, and otherwise it just chokes.
Yeah. Well, this I wouldn't be able to watch this at all if it wasn't for the my DSL, which is I am so.
Yeah, happy. You need a minimum, absolute minimum of a consistent megabit, and you're better off having like about a 3 megabit drop before you really can get this stuff in high def.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was trying, and we're going to have to cut out some. We got way too many topics, and we got to start ending the show. This is what happens when you have 4 weeks of topics. So, I wanted to hear about the sled dog race.
Yeah, it's the second annual, and it's just turning out fantastic. If you go to, and we can put it in the link, it's Copper Dog 150. It's actually, I don't remember, let me type that in, whether that's an org or a com. But that's actually the name of the website. And they've got a, for those of you into Facebook, you can go on the Facebook. They've got a Copper Dog 150 Facebook page. And it's honest to goodness, 3-day sled race.
Is it .org or .com? Did you find that yet?
I'm checking.
So I'm editing as we speak.
Check and talk at the same time.
So it's a sled dog race, unlike other sled dogs race, which mostly take place in Alaska. This one takes place in the peninsula there, or is it just in Copper Harbor?
No, it's up and down the peninsula.
Okay.
It's quite the tour.
150.
And it's .com.
.com, okay. So is that 150 miles?
Yeah, 150 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Oh, it's not an Iditarod, but it's still 150 miles.
Wow.
Crazy length.
Yeah.
They leave Calumet on Friday evening and go through the night, roll into Eagle Harbor, and I don't have the schedule, but you can look it up on the website. And they've got on the website, they've got videos and pictures and aerial views, and it's if you get a chance, check it out. It's really cool. Some really good photography there too. But and then the dogs come and spend the night here Saturday night, and then off they go on Sunday morning again, up and over the mountain.
Wow, that must be fun to watch. I mean,
it's really cool.
And I hear now most do the dogs on this one wear the little booties, because I hear up in Alaska now a lot of the dogs they try to protect their paws with booties.
Yeah, most of them have boots on.
Yeah. Which I find totally amazing right there, because have you ever tried to put anything on your dog's feet or even like touch their nails or your paws or anything? I was like, my dog would be walking around like blah, 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 you know, trying to get the things off their feet. And I guess it takes, you got to start them out as puppies wearing these things to get them to not bother with them or chew them off or anything. So that's impressive. So anything else on the leftover topics here we've got to that look interesting?
I got nothing.
Pull them back up.
I got the virtual Uper numbers are way up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this show is definitely affecting the numbers on my other show, considering I put out one episode in the last 6 months.
You've been busy.
Well, I've been kind of busy, yeah. But even my work associates are like, aren't you going to get another show out one of these days? Like, yeah. I do enjoy it, so I got to get back to that as too. Now that I've actually got the recording studio pretty much set up /office/ham radio room/everything. But
yeah,
man cave, that's all encompassing, right?
That's yes. Right.
There you go.
Yes.
But it's definitely affected, because since we started releasing the late night QRMs on a regular basis, there seems to be some spillover, because the numbers are way up on Virtual Uper. And, virtualuper.com. Come check it out.
That's right. And our numbers have been up. So it's of course, yeah, we probably lost them all in the past 3 weeks. I mean,
but have you released any shows in the last 3 weeks?
I did. I
we've got a number in the can.
So. I got 16 out last week.
Okay.
So 16's out, and this is 21. So, but 16 was the last of me having to listen all the way through them and do the show notes. So, because starting at 17, the show notes should be good to go. All I have to do is, you know, slap a beginning and edit some stuff out, and, you know, it goes much faster. So, as soon as I get my sorry ass up here and put 17 together, it'll be out the door. It'll be much faster. Yeah. So I'm hoping to catch up, but I still want to, I got to spread them out. I don't want to do like one a night or something like that. So I'll probably still spread them out. Yeah. Maybe I'll do two a week or so to try to catch up, because yeah, it's, I don't want to put this one out in September.
Yeah. No.
So, anyway. Okay. Quickly going over the other topics, which are kind of dated now. The New York Times announces digital subscription plan. Yeah, we'll have a link. You can read it. Everybody knows. Whoopee. New York Times is trying to put the old model on the new media.
The Twitter review of that is, what are they thinking?
Really? Really? Honestly? And actually, is it New York Times or... I think it's New York Times. If you actually look at the price plan they have, it's actually more expensive to get the electronic version than it is to get the printed version. And if I remember correctly, when I was a paper boy and whatnot, you paid for the newspaper so they could, you know, that's what they paid to get the paper and all the publishing part of it. Your subscription paid off that part. Advertising paid all the reporters and the writers and things. So now with the new media, you don't have any publishing costs per se. You know, you don't need print or anything. So why are you charging more for it? It makes no sense whatsoever. So they don't get it yet. I will have a link in the show notes so you can go read that. Rumors of a free Mobile Me coming. Mobile Me is a service that it's basically like, I must say, iDisk. You can have a web page. It's an Apple product. And for $99 a year, you can have storage space up on the cloud. And you can have websites, and I think you can do your mail through there. But it's mostly a storage place that people can back up to and whatnot. And since it's from its creation till potentially the spring, Mobile Me has cost $99 a year. Well, they're not letting people buy Mobile Me anymore, and they've building a huge data center in North Carolina. And so now the rumors are, is Mobile Me, every Apple user will have a Mobile Me account of some sort. They may rename it, we don't know. But what they're predominantly doing it for is for iTunes, where you buy music and you can store it up in the cloud, so that if something happens to your iPhone or your iPod Touch or your iPad and you lose your music or your media, you can just go right up to your Mobile Me and grab a backup and download it back onto the device. So that's what that's about. And there's a link there for that. And let's see. Research. Double-digit growth in social networks is over. The bubble is about to pop, that some people are saying on social media. I kind of doubt it. It's pretty popular, and there's more and more social media coming out. But basically, the article was saying that, we're into single digits on social network growth. So that could be because there's so many of them out there. And anyway, so let's see. I'll skip that one because I read that in a magazine, and I haven't found it online yet. I read it in a magazine that the government, in its ultimate wisdom, is trying to make foreign or, oh God, what's the word I'm looking for? Foreign shotguns illegal in this country, and in particular semi-automatics. So, you know, it may be a time, if you're thinking about getting something like that, to go shopping now before the federal government makes it illegal. And Michael has, and I forgot about this one, but I'm glad you put it down there. Gizmo 5 is dead.
Yeah. I liked Gizmo.
I did. It was good. It had nice quality. And the only reason why we tried to use it here, the only reason we stopped, is because no support.
Right.
And the history behind that is Google bought Gizmo. And I think what they did was bought it for the technology and stuck it into their, Google Chat or Google, I forget what it's called.
Maybe Google Talk.
Google Talk, that's it, yeah. I think. But they killed off the Gizmo. Yeah.
Yeah, I get a refund email from them saying, you bought minutes for your actual dial out and dial in, and yeah, where do we refund it to? Supposed to get that to him by April or something or other.
Wow. So it really is dead. Wow.
Yeah.
So all we got left is Skype. So, okay. And New York lines at Apple Store? Were there New York lines at the Apple Store?
Yep. Well, that goes back to the CEO of our company that was trying to get an iPad 2.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only other part, though, was when I actually sat and met with those guys. I said, oh, you might want to take a look at this. And I got to use a MacBook Air for an afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, those things are incredibly slim.
Yeah, I guess it's a very expensive netbook.
Yeah.
The way I look at it. And it way more than I would choose to pay for a netbook. Although it does look cool.
It's a nice MacBook. Okay. Though, with that SSD drive in there, And I'm looking at this going, boy, my wife would like this. No, she wouldn't, because my wife's into photography and it's got like 120 gig solid state drive in it. She'd use that up in nothing flat.
Yeah.
So
that wouldn't last long at all. So that's all the topics. We've caught up 4 weeks of topics.
Perfect.
And I was going to play a song, but I'm going to skip it on the live version, and I'll stick it in for the podcast. So if you want to hear the song, you'll have to go to the downloadable podcast. Please subscribe. and the reason I'm doing that is because the guys on the other end obviously can't hear it if I play it. So, so we'll skip it tonight until we get our technical difficulties worked out on the layout. And, you know, I'm going to get it all sorted out, and then Skype's going to have another update next week. And, anyway, so I would like to say to the guys out and overseas, supporting in the military, supporting all the different wars that are going on right now, or actions, I guess. Hey, we're with you. Stay safe, and we're hoping you get back real soon. And yeah, we're all proud of what you do, and we thank God you're out there, supporting us and letting us do what we do back here. So, yeah, stay safe. So I guess that'll be it from the southwest. I was looking at my Waze map. Southwest corner of New Hampshire. This is Barry J saying, see you next week.
See you later.
Take care.
Okay. Bye, folks. We'll see you next week. Samson, speak. Good boy.